1 Peter 1:3 through 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith is shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith is greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things.
Thank you, Kayla. I tried to talk her into preaching for me, but she told me no way. Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Good. It sounds like you're awake. We need your help. As usual, we need your help. Go back one slide, Tom, please. Go back to the one more. There you go. You all will need that before we get too far if you don't have your scriptures with you, because you're going to help me preach this sermon, okay? Is that fair? You want to dig in the Word, is that right? Question for you. How many of you can think of something that at one time was very special to you, but after a while it just seemed to, you know, just became common? You started taking it for granted. Can you think of something like that in your life? You know, life has gone on. You don't think about it as much. You don't get as excited about it as much. But you're still glad you have it, and it's useful and it's valuable. Can you think of anything like that?
Job.
That's a good one. Somebody else? Good.
Family.
What?
Family.
Family. That's very easy, isn't it? You get busy and caught up in your family. Anything else?
Pet.
If I had a pet, they're special for a while, but then they get real common, right?
Health.
Pardon?
Health.
Help?
Health.
Health, yes. You take that for granted, don't we?
Hearing.
Hearing, yeah. Good. Hey, we're into it today. We can preach now. Huh? Yeah. But, you know, a lot of those things we start to take for granted. What is something else that each one of us probably have taken for granted? I think we just read about it this morning. I don't know about this pastor that gave me this passage. There's so much here, we could easily go till 2 o'clock. I promise you we won't. I promise you won't go much above past 11. But this passage is so full, and what's it talk about? It talks about our salvation. How often do you think about your salvation? Are you like me? We think about it, well, you know, when we get over there. Our salvation's over there, right? When we die. Do you think about your salvation? Often? I find myself, I take it a little bit for granted. I'm glad I have it. It's very valuable to me. But I take it for granted. And today, I'd like us to take this passage and just kind of take some time to look at all sides of it. Because as we start to understand our salvation better, I think we can get more excited about it. And if we're more excited about it, we're more apt to share our faith. I remember when I first got saved, I wanted to go tell everybody. I remember I had a high school teacher, Mr. Campbell, and I knew he wasn't a Christian, and I just really felt that I needed to go share my faith with Mr. Campbell. And I did. It took all the mustard you could get to do it. But, you know, and now the thing is, how often do we think about who should we go share our faith with next? Are you like me in that? Pretty easy, isn't it? Let's pray, and then let's dig into this passage. Father God, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you that you have done a work in our life. We thank you that you have saved us. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for your working here in our midst today. Father God, I would ask that you would speak to us, challenge us, and change us today so that we might have that joy unspeakable and full of glory about that great salvation you've given us, but more about who you are and what you're doing in that. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see three things today. I think I'm going to do it a little different. Let's look at this here. Look at this passage. What jumps out at you about God from this passage? What's God doing? We want to go through verse 9, but we can't get that in one slide. What do you see God doing?
New birth.
New birth. He's given us new birth, yes? What else?
Living hope.
He's given us a living hope. He's shown us great mercy. Good.
Reminders through trials.
There's one there in verse 5. Don't miss the one in verse 5. Pardon? He's shielding or protecting us. I think we forget that one a lot. Shielding and protecting us. What did you say, Jen? Protecting. Okay, good. Okay, what do you see in here about us?
We rejoice.
What do we rejoice over? Well, that's not quite how it says it there, brother. It says through, that's kind of ugly there. In this you rejoice greatly, though, what? Through grief and trials, various trials. Huh. I like it, though. You're right. Rejoice. What else? Verse 5.
Faith.
And he'll show it. Verse 5. Tom, can you go down to the next one? You'll see verse 8 and 9. Next slide. What else do you see? Here he's talking about us. We love him. Because of faith. What else? You receive our faith will give us what? Salvation. Okay. Go back, Tom, one slide back, please. So what is our response supposed to be? What? I think I heard somebody say it.
It was Coley.
It was Coley. What? Praise is one. The second one Darius brought out is rejoice. And then go down to verse 9. Next page. Slide. I love this one here. Are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? I like some of the looks on your faces are priceless right now. You know, you'd almost that thing, but see that. As we look at this passage today, there's three things I want us to see. I want to see, help you understand and remember again that you are saved. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, at that point, what happened? You were saved. I am saved. What he's talking about in this passage here is a lot about I'm being saved. But then he talks about our inheritance, and I will be saved. So we get to see all three of those. And we're talking about our salvation. I think too often we talk about I will be saved, and we forget to talk about and praise God for I am being saved and how he's doing that. Secondly, I want us to see that how salvation has worked out. Did you see in that passage? You see God working, and you see man responding. Too often we can say, well, I'll let go and let God do that. Well, the faith is our part. The attitude is our part. So we need to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling, as we're told in Philippians 2. And then the third thing I'd like us to look at is how we need to respond. If you had to assess yourself today, 1 to 7, 1 being just a grumbling person, or 7 being joyful, full of joy, and grateful person, how would you rate yourself? You don't have to tell me. I just want you to get a number. Because I think this is, you know, as Christians, we need to look at ourselves. Are we grumblers or grateful people? Because the response that he's calling us to is what? Praise, rejoicing, and joy inexpressible and full of glory. Let's look at him, okay? Now you can go wherever you want to, Tom, and the thing that was just, but I'm sorry about that, Tom. The first thing I want us to do is to look at God's great salvation. Did you see that? In his mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not receiving what we deserve. We as sinful people and independent people, a lot of us don't like to think ourselves as sinful, but we are because we decided we want to be independent of God. We want to do it our way. Any of you have that trouble? Do it my way? Okay, yeah, I see those hands. And that's the way we are. But that is sinfulness because we don't want to follow God. And because of that, God had every right to just say, okay, guys, go your own way. I'll forget you. And you're going to be on your own. And you will never be back in right relationship with God. But God, in his great mercy, sent Jesus Christ. And he gave us what? As we looked earlier, he gave us, because of that mercy, he gave us new birth into a living hope through the living Jesus, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the living Jesus Christ. You and I can be born again into what? A living hope. It's not something that's going to fade. It's not something that's going to die. It's a living hope. It's alive. And our hope is that we're in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and we have that for all eternity. We also have in that living hope is, in that living hope in Christ, we have that relationship because now we are born again by whom? The Spirit, right? So we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and as the Holy Spirit's living in us, that's part of our hope. We're not alone. I'll never leave you, what? Nor forsake you. You're not alone when we're in Christ. That's a part of our living hope. But then he goes one step further. You're born again not only into living hope, but into an inheritance. I remember the first inheritance I got. I was a kid living at home, and my Uncle John died. And Dad said, well, you got an inheritance. I said, we're shortly after we got married. And I said, what in the world? Uncle John didn't have that much money. He was an old bachelor. Uncle John had all kinds of money. And for some reason, he picked out the firstborn of two families. He ignored some of the rest of the families. I was one of the special ones. That made you feel kind of special. But let's stop and think. We have a living, we're reborn into what? An inheritance of who? Jesus Christ. God's given us inheritance. The scripture says we are now joint heirs with Jesus. Whoa. So that gives us the privilege to get everything that Jesus has. That's our salvation, folks. And we have that we can rest in that and enjoy that. But did you notice what else he said? Go back to your book. He says there that never fades, spoils, or perishes. We lost out, I found out later, we lost out on 150,000, on each one of us kids who in that inheritance could have got 50,000 more if somebody hadn't scammed Uncle John. That's a lot of money. Back 40 years ago, it was a whole lot of money. Ours, inheritance through Christ, is never going to fade. It's never going to perish. What he promised you is what you're going to get. You can take it to the bank. It's there. It's yours. It's ours. That's part of our living hope. And as we enjoy that and live in that, then he goes on to say, that it's by how do we receive it? He says, your faith. Look at that. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are being shielded by God's power. Let's take a moment and think about faith. How would you define faith? Some of you may be new here. I have till 11 o'clock to wait for you to give an answer, so... Confidence and a promise. I like that. Confidence and a promise. How else?
Something that you believe in, but you can't see.
Something you can believe in, but you can't see. How many of you drove here today? How many of you checked your brakes before you came? Why not? That's the most important thing you have. You know, when you're going on a road, the most important thing you have, can I stop? But you trusted those, right? Did you? You could see them working. You don't see what they're doing, but if they don't work, you're in a world of hurt when you need them. Anything else? How would you define faith?
Assurance of things hoped for.
Here's a definition I like to work with. It's placing our trust in the person of Jesus Christ and his completed work. I'm talking about Christian faith here. Placing our trust in the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, that's all that Jesus is, who he is, the Son of God, but then all of his works. Don't stop there. And intentionally living that out. In other words, it's not enough to say, I believe, because we have too many people right now that are believing they're saved, but they're not living it, right? I'm afraid that's not going to carry. Because faith has to be lived out. Your brakes on your car don't do any good if you don't push the pedal, right? Your faith won't do you a lot of good if you're not living it out. And when you're intentionally living out, you're also willingly following Jesus Christ. And so he says that through our faith, what? Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow. So we put our faith in God, Christ, and trust in God as our Savior. And then what's happening? God all of a sudden is going to protect us. It's almost like that breaks. You don't see them working, but they work. What did God protect you? How did God protect your faith this last week? You may not know. Because he may have done that in a way that you didn't even see it coming. He just protected you. But you also need to realize that he's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and protect us so that we can move ahead. And as we're walking by the Spirit, he may lead us in a separate, different way. Why? Because God's protecting us. God protects us. So we have a God who not only saves us, but he protects us. But as you're living by faith, then we come to this next passage that is tough. I'm not sure I like this passage, this scripture verse here. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the provenness, genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold. How many of you like to look for grief? I don't see any hands. You know why? We don't want to. But here, we need to realize another thing that our God does is God allows us to go through testing so that our faith is proven and so that we become more Christ-like. But we have to realize that as we're going through this testing is where, going back to verse 5, he's protecting us. There's no testing that comes your way that God didn't allow. Is that right? Do you believe that? Your worst day, God's allowing you to be tested, but he's not going to take it to where it's going to break you and take you away from salvation. He only does that so that it focuses you more on him. He wants your faith. He wants to prove your faith. And as he's proven your faith, he's going to allow different testings. A couple years ago, I went through, I've had more than one surgery in my life. 2 years ago, I had surgery. And when I had my surgery, everything, you know, you walk out of the hospital, you figure, but we're going home and we're good. After a month and a half, God had allowed me to be tested a couple different ways. And one way was in the middle of that, I had a reoccurrence, and it came to a place where I got into a real spiritually dry desert. Have you ever been there? It was a desert that, at one time I had to call Paul Anderson, one of the guys I work with, and said, Paul, I can't feel God. I don't know if God's hearing me. I'm out walking around in the nighttime because I'm hurting so much, and it doesn't seem like God's anywhere near. And Cheryl's standing watching, and she there's nothing you can do. And you start to say, why, God? You know what God was doing? Proving my faith. He was knocking off some rough edges. Any of you have rough edges? Don't raise your hands. But that's one thing he promises us he'll do, right? He says he works all things together for good to those who love God, so he might be conformed to what? Image of Christ. Wow. I'm not sure I like that confirming. But I tell you what, if I want the end, it's the best thing that can happen to me. Is that right? Do you see what he tells us, though? Do you see what our response should be to our testing? What does he say our response should be to that testing? Greatly rejoice. Greatly rejoice. Or if you look in James 1, James puts it a different way. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance finishes work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What's joy? How would you define joy? Because rejoicing would be joy, right? So how would you define joy?
Jesus and the faith in Jesus.
It's based on a faith in Jesus. Good. It's based on a faith. It's not something out there. It's based on a faith. Good. That's good. Anything else? Joy. Is it happiness? It's more than happiness, right? Joy. How would you define it? Independent of circumstances. So it's almost a contentment, right? Good.
Prevalent.
Pardon?
Prevalent.
Prevalent. It's real and it's living in you. Yeah. Joy, I was looking up. Joy is more than happiness. It's more than contentment. It's more than gratitude. Instead, it's all of these together. And it has all of these together. Plus, as it was shared here, it's an attitude or lifestyle based on the assurance that God is taking care of you and doing his good work in you and through you. You hear that last part? It's based on an attitude and lifestyle based on the assurance that God is taking care of you and doing his good work in and through you. Then, when I'm going through trial, I should be able to do what? Thank you, Lord. Right? Counting it pure joy. I don't think I can dance. I couldn't. When I was going through that stuff after my surgery, there was no dance left in me. But because of the ability to turn back to God, there's where joy and contentment came. And that's the same with each one of us. We can have joy in that. He says, consider it joy. Why? Because God is proving our faith. He's proving it that it's valuable, that it's solid. And also at the same time, he is transforming us in the likeness of Christ Jesus. Won't it be good when we get to heaven and we can see the one who died for us? I don't think we can stand up. Do you think we'll be able to stand up? I don't think so. I can start crying right now to think about that. But the reason I'll be able to do that is because what? I have an inheritance that is secure. But I have a Father God who is transforming me and changing me into likeness so that I can meet my God. I was sharing at breakfast this morning, I was sharing with one of the guys, and I said, I remember the day as a pastor when one of the women in our church who was just a pain. That's the nicest word I can use for her. And I mean, really, she's a pain. And the pastor before that she left their church, he said, she'll be a pain, and she was. And one day I got a phone call, she's being rushed to the hospital because of heart failure. And I prayed, God, would you please take her home? And God just took me like this and said, Moose, I called you to be a pastor. And you're not asking the right questions. He said, you should be praying, is she ready to go home? And if she's not, God, would you do the work to make her ready? Well, she wasn't ready to go home. And 2.5 years later, she did die after God did a wonderful work in her life of taking away the bitterness that made her that pain. But the thing is, because in my own self, I just wanted rid of her problems. I wanted her out of my way. God says, no. See, we have a Father that's not like that. Our Heavenly Father isn't like us. He was concerned about what? That faith that she had placed in Jesus Christ. And he was protecting her so that she could be with him. And when she went home to be with the Lord, she was a lot sweeter woman because God took care of the bitterness. And you go, wow. That's what God wants to do in us, folks. So then in the last couple verses there, verses 8 and 9, we see how our faith is lived out. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible joy. That's our faith. Right? makes a big change in us, because right now we can't see Jesus, but we can love him because we know the work he's doing in us. But now, even though you have not seen him now, we believe and we can say, thank you, Jesus. And we follow him with a whole heart and we can move ahead. And because of that, verse 9 says, for you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Won't that be great? Why are you going to heaven? I want to go to heaven to see Jesus. Is that why you want to go? I trust it is. I want to go before and be with God. There's going to be some other benefits too. But see, that's, I will be saved. But now I need to think of how I'm being saved. And that comes to our attitude. What was that thing, grumbly, hateful? Who? Huh? Grumbly, hateful, or humbly grateful? What's your attitude? Are you grumbly, hateful, or humbly grateful? What's your attitude? And that was a musical back when we were back many years ago. That was a bit 40 years ago. Whoa, that was many years ago. Some of you weren't around. But the idea, you know, the attitude of our heart really does a lot, folks. If we can praise God and if we're grateful, then that makes us so we're quick to yield to God. When you're fighting God because you're grumbly hateful, then you're grumbling and you're fighting God. And I'll tell you what, I'm learning. You never win when you're fighting God. Can you agree? So how do we change your attitude? Well, we come back and we start to think of the things God has done. And as we look at this passage here, in his mercy, what? He's given us a living hope. He's protecting us. He's proving us. He's making us like him. This is our loving Father, so that we can have what? This great inheritance that will not fade nor perish. And that's the gift he's given us. But what's your attitude? How are you going to come to the place where you're going to be joyful in these things? What's holding you back from that? It might be like this person I had talked to earlier, it might be bitterness. It might be some unforgiveness in your heart that's holding you back. That will hold you back. And bitterness can be caused by a couple of things. Number one, by hurt from another person or even from God. And because of that, we're fighting. That'll cause bitterness. Another one is just someone crossed you, you're not going to forgive them. That'll cause bitterness too. But we need to come to the place where we turn that and say, God, that's sin, that's wrong. Would you forgive me? And really turn back to him, because he wants us to have a heart that's full of joy in all things. So as we close today, a couple questions. Is there anyone here who doesn't know that great salvation? If you don't, I would invite you to come to the place where you place your trust in Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Come and forgive me. I want to place my trust in you and follow you. And I'll tell you what. It says he will in no way turn you away. You can come and you can start that personal walk of faith. And when you start that walk of faith, you have a new birth, because now you have a heavenly Father, you're a child of God, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, living in you. Secondly, what one truth from this passage do you need to take home today and think on for this week? Maybe. For me, I need to start thinking more of not taking my salvation for granted. I need to become, in my prayer life, I need to praise him more for what he's doing right now. I pray for other people, but a lot of times I forget about what he's doing right here. What's it with you? Because we want him to speak to our hearts and change us. Thirdly, how can you rejoice when you're going through trials and testing? I got permission to do this. I have a sister-in-law named Deb, who just a sweetheart. Went to college, bought her second or third year of college, got married. The dream, you know, her first boyfriend and all that stuff. Within a year, he walked out on her. Just left her. Boom. In fact, I remember going out to Indiana to bring her home, help bring her home. Never got bitter. Never got bitter. Got remarried. Had a son. Had two sons. At age 19, at her oldest son's age 19, he died an tragic accidental death. She buried him. They buried him. Wasn't shortly afterwards she found out she had Parkinson's. Still sweet. Never grumbling. Loving Jesus. Then her youngest son, all of a sudden, because of the death of his oldest brother, and then his oldest brother's friend died within 6 months of him. He got into alcohol and stuff. And we remember the phone call where they called and the police had hauled him off to jail. Deb never got bitter. You go to her and say, "What's up, Deb?" And Deb says, "Well, I know I have a sovereign God who's taking care of me, walking with me, still to this day." And you can say, "Well, that's you start to wonder, well, what? Why, God? Why? So that God can be glorified in Deb's life. That's all Deb's worried about. So God can be glorified in her life." How about you? Do you have testing you're going through? Do you have things you're going through? What's your attitude? Are you able to rejoice in these? Can we look forward to testing? Facial expressions are good again. Can we look forward to? If we know what God's doing, if we trust our God, we can say, "God, I'm yours." Do we have a good God? Yes. How often is he good?
All the time.
Really?
Yes.
Then why don't we rejoice when we start into testing? See, one and one don't equal two. And that's where we need to come back and say, "God, help me." The last question. What do you need to do this week to be more grateful for your salvation? Let's close in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters and friends here, and just praise you for you loving us and you wanting to do a work in us. Lord, we thank you so much that you would send Jesus. We thank you so much that you're merciful, Lord, because we don't deserve any of this, but you've given it to us. We ask, Lord God, that you would just pour out your grace upon each one of us and that you would help us to walk in your strength and in your faith, in that faith, in such a way as we follow Jesus, your Holy Spirit would strengthen us and renew us, that you'd show us things in our lives. And Lord, maybe it's our attitude that you want to change so that we could have that joyful attitude. And when we have that joyful attitude, we could just yield to you and let you lead us. Lord, work in a unique way in our lives. Be glorified in us and through us. And above all, we want Jesus to be lifted high. Thank you for what you're going to do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.